We're reading in the writings of Bala Sulam the introduction to the book Panim Meirot Umasbirot. We're in item 17. You can ask questions on kav.tv. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
Go ahead.
Item 17. Now we can understand the serpent's cunning, which our sages added and notified us that some clothed in it, meaning because its words were very high. It started with, although God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Meaning, it began to speak with her, since the woman was not commanded by the Creator. Hence, it asked her about the modes of scrutiny, meaning how will you know that the tree of knowledge was prohibited? How do you know? Perhaps all the fruits of the garden were prohibited for you too. And the woman said, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, etc. You may not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. There are two great precisions here. One, the touching was never forbidden. Hence, why did she add to the prohibition? Two, did she doubt the words of the Creator? The Creator said, you will surely die, and the woman said, lest you die. Could it be that she did not believe the words of the Creator, even prior to the sin?
Yet the woman answered it according to the serpent's question. She knew that the Creator had prohibited that all the trees of the garden are sweet and nice and good to eat. However, she was already close to touching that tree inside the garden, and tasted in it a taste that is as hard as death. She herself had proven that by her own observation there is fear of death, even from mere touching. For this reason, she understood the prohibition further than what she heard from her husband, as there is none so wise as the experienced. Lest you die concerns the touching. The answer must have been quite sufficient, for who would interfere and deny another's taste? However, the serpent contradicted her and said, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat, therefore your eyes shall be opened.
Meaning, it's possible to use the will to receive. It's not that it cannot be used and there's only bestowing in order to bestow, because they were on the level of the Garden of Eden, at the level of Bina. Rather, you can use the will to receive, you can advance, but the prohibition is only how do you use the will to receive, without touching the stony heart. All those things you cannot correct. But in terms of bestowing, from bestowing in order to bestow, which you're in now, you can achieve receiving in order to bestow. Meaning you can eat from all the trees of the garden except for the tree of knowledge.
We must make the precision concerning the matter of the opening of the eyes to this place. Indeed, it informed her of a new and sublime matter. It proved to them that it is folly to think that the Creator created something harmful and detrimental in His world. Thus, with respect to the Creator, it is certainly not a bad or harmful thing. Instead, that bitterness that you will taste in it, when even close to touching, is only on your part, since this eating is to notify you of the height of your merit. Thus, it is additional gedusha that you need during the act, so your sole aim will be to bring contentment to Him, to keep the aim for which you were created. For this reason, it seems to you as bad and harmful, so you will understand the additional kedusha required of you. For in the day you eat thereof, meaning in the act is, meaning if the act is in Gdusha and purity, as clear as day, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. This means that, as it is certainly sweet to the Creator and completely equal, so the good and bad will be to you in complete equivalence, sweet and gentle. It is still possible to doubt the credibility of the serpent, since the Creator did not tell it this himself. Therefore, the serpent first said, "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened." This means that it is not necessary for the Creator to notify you of that, since he knows that if you pay attention to this, to eat on the side of Gdusha, your eyes shall be opened by themselves to understand the measure of greatness in it. You will feel wondrous sweetness and gentleness in it. Hence, he does not need to let you know, as for this, he instilled in you the scrutinizing force that you may know what is to your benefit by yourselves.
Good. So it was worthwhile to go through the suffering, to go through the prohibition, to breach the prohibition or not. Without it, he says, we wouldn't be able to scrutinize anything on our own.
It is written right after that, "And the woman saw that the tree was good to eat and that it was a delight to the eyes." This means that she did not rely on his words, but went and examined with her own mind and understanding, and sanctified herself with additional Kedusha to bring contentment to the Creator, in order to complete the aim desire of her, and not at all for herself. At that,
meaning, if they begin to receive with, in order to bestow without the previous correction, what's happening?
At that time, her eyes were opened as the serpent had said, and the woman saw that the tree was good to eat. In other words, by saying that it was a delight to the eyes, before she even touched it, she felt great sweetness and lust. When her eyes saw by themselves that she had not seen such a desirable thing in all the trees of the garden, she also learned that the tree is good for knowledge, meaning that there is far more to crave and covet in this tree than in all the trees of the garden. This refers to knowing that they were created for this act of eating, and that this is the whole purpose, as the serpent had revealed to her.
Meaning that bestowing in order to bestow, which they were in at first in the Garden of Eden, that's not the purpose of creation. That's nothing. Of course, they ate from all the trees of the garden, but what's the point? They didn't feel the real taste from it. They didn't even feel they're doing something in order to bestow. And also, whether it's for themselves, not for the Creator, nothing. Just detached. It's like the delighted in mercy in the woods. I got no shirt, and I don't need one. So it's the tree of knowledge, in fact, that gives the status for the new state.
After all these absolute scrutinies, she took off its fruit and ate, and gave also to her man with her, and he ate. The text accurately writes with her, meaning with the pure intention only to bestow and not for her own sake. This is the meaning of the words, "and gave to her man with her in Kedusha."
Of course, all these actions were with the right intention, only they couldn't take into account the real Malchut, the stony heart. Okay, somehow, you can ask, but I'm not sure that I'm going to want to answer. Go. No, maybe the question itself could be good. Yes.
He says that the good and the evil are equal, and that leaves place or room for the serpent. I mean, what do you need that for? If you already feel good and bad at the same time.
It's not important. The snake gives us a clear knowledge, a great taste that doesn't exist in anything else, in any of the garden's trees. Even if you were right, if you were righteous according to what you understand, you don't know the taste of the fruit of the Garden of Eden.
What are these concepts of that the good and evil are completely equal?
That it doesn't matter for me if it's good or bad at all. I'm above that. I'm in Bina. There is nothing good or bad. It's all in bestowal. I don't feel any preference between one and the other. I'm that much protected by this correction.
But I do feel the good and the bad. Do I have to feel them in order for them to be equal?
It exists, but to the extent that we don't feel the good and bad, we cannot detect them because it's bestowing in order to bestow. Vessels of the coarseness of Shoresh and Aleph, Galgalta and Naim, like an embryo and an infant. What does he understand? What does he know? Only tastes or is happy or is crying. There's no actual response on his own. His body simply responds, and that's what we see. It's not a response of a human who scrutinizes and wants to add something, but rather you know in advance what will happen. That has nothing to do with man's free choice. It has to do with the body. If you're being poked, you say, ouch. If you're given something sweet, you feel good. So the body is a machine where the man does not exist in these discernments where it is just being influenced. That's it. That's what they had. That means they were as animals on the animate level. The human level begins, that's why it's called Adam HaRishon, the first man. That from that state, man begins. Man meaning similar to the Creator, and not before that.
Who is this intended for?
He's talking about the will to receive.
Not about man himself.
Man himself is a will to receive. All the degrees of creation, from zero to ensof, to full resemblance with the Creator. It's all a will to receive that undergoes various corrections, becoming similar to the Creator through various states. That's what it's about.
So, what we're reading in item 17 here, who's he talking to?
Talks to Tzvika.
I mean, what are we supposed to understand? Item 17, what is he talking about?
That the state there is in the Garden of Eden is one of dead end. Yeah. There's no exit from it.
So I won't understand what it says here?
What? No, it's not about your understanding. The state of Garden of Eden was that man was full, blocked, like an animal, given everything. And so it's like being in some golden prison. That's it. Feels good? Yes. Feels bad? No. Wants to come out of it? No. What for? So he is imprisoned. Captivated. Captive. And so it never becomes knowledgeable as the Creator knowing good and evil. Meaning his will to receive does not let him come out of the goodness he's in, of that infancy. You remember your childhood?
Of course I do.
And was it worse than now?
Much worse.
Really? Well, that's you, I guess.
You think things were better when we were kids?
I don't know. Usually, a child is a child. I have good memories from being a child.
Yeah, but the conditions were worse.
This I don't know.
Item 17. It's a part of the process of the work.
Yeah, this is called the Garden of Eden is Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy. I don't want anything besides, you know, what you want. Just the Garden of Eden. Maybe I need this, maybe I need that. No, it's the Garden of Eden. You understand what it's about? So by that you become an animal, animate. You're not a human. You're not in pain. You're not longing, yearning, feeling. You don't devolve. It's like a cat under the sun. That's you. And you think that's what's good for people. All right. Go ahead.
Item 18. Now we come to the heart of the matter and the mistake that concerned his leg. This tree of knowledge of good and evil was mixed with the vacant space, meaning with the gadlut form.
This is what needs to be added to the human the Creator created in order to make him similar to the Creator. This is the difference between man in Garden of Eden and man who needs to become similar to the Creator. The vacant space needs to be added, meaning
with the gadlut form of reception upon which the Tzimtzum was implemented and from which the Or Elyon departed. It has also been explained that Adam HaRishon did not have any of the gadlut form of reception in his structure, which extends from the vacant space. Instead, he extended solely from the system of Kedusha, concerned only with bestowal.
Galgalta enayim. Chafetz chesed. Everything's good. Good boy.
As it is written in the Zohar Kedoshim, that Adam HaRishon had nothing of this world.
From the will to receive. Didn't have anything.
For this reason, the tree of knowledge was forbidden to him, as his root and the whole system of Kedusha are separated from the Sitra Achra, due to their disparity of form, which is the separation. Thus, he too was commanded and warned about connecting to it, as thus he would be separated from his holy root and die, like the Sitra Achra and the Klipot, which are dead due to their oppositeness and separation from the Kedusha and the life of lives. However, Satan, which is some, the angel of death that clothed in the serpent, came down and enticed Eve with the lie in its mouth, "You shall not surely die." It is known that any lie does not stand if it is not preceded by words of truth. Hence, it started with the true word and revealed to her the purpose of creation that came only to correct this tree, meaning to invert the great vessels of reception to the side of bestowal. This is the meaning of what our sages said to her, that it is said to her that God had eaten from this tree and created the world. Meaning looked at that matter in the form of the end of an act is in the preliminary thought.
All true. He is truthful and honest. and genuine and earnest and great intentions he has. He's a partner with the Creator, that serpent. The will to receive that awakens and manipulates us like that, how would we do without them? You'd be left like some fat mouse, satiated and happy.
And for this reason, he has created the world. As we have seen above, the whole matter of the first tzimtzum was only for man, who is destined to equalize the form of reception, to bestow, and this was the truth. For this reason, it succeeded, and the woman believed in when she prepared herself to receive and enjoy solely in order to bestow. You find that, at any rate, evil vanished from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of knowledge of good remained. This is because the evil, there is only the disparity of form of reception for oneself, which was imprinted in him, but with reception in order to bestow. Thus he is brought to his complete perfection, and you find that she made the great unification as it should be at the end of the act.
Where he kind of minimized a few sentences here.
For this reason, that it was unworthy, besides during the first eating, but not in the second one. To explain that one who avoids a passion before one has tasted and grown accustomed is not like one who avoids a passion having tasted and becomes connected to it. The first can certainly avoid once and for all, but the other must exert to retire from one's craving bit by bit until he completes the matter. So it is here. Since the woman had not yet tasted from the tree of knowledge and was completely in bestowal, it was easy for her to perform the first eating in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator and absolute Kedusha. But after she tasted it, a great desire and coveting for the tree of knowledge was made in her until she could not retire from her craving, since matters had gone out of her control. This is why our sages said that she ate prematurely, meaning before it was ripe, before they acquired strength and power to rule over their desire. This is similar to what the sages said in Masechet Yevamot, according to Abba Shaul, who said that one who marries his dead brother's wife for beauty and for lust is as one who blemishes the pubes. They said, the first intercourse is forbidden because of the second intercourse. This is the meaning of what our sages said. I have eaten and I shall eat more. This means that even when he had explicitly heard that the Creator was in wrath with him, he still could not retire from it, since the lust had already been connected to him. You find that the first eating was on the side of the Kedusha, and the second one, and the second was in great filth. Now we can understand the severity of the punishment of the tree of knowledge for which all people are put to death. This death extends from eating it, as the Creator had warned him, in the day you eat from it, you will surely die. The thing is that the gadlut form of reception extends into his limbs. From the vacant space and from the tzimtzum onward, it is no longer possible for it to be under the same roof with the upper light. Hence, that eternal breath of life expressed in the verse, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, had to leave there and depend on a slice of bread for its transient sustenance. This life is not eternal life as before when it was for himself. Rather, it is similar to sweat of life, a life that has been divided into tiny drops, where each drop is a fragment of his previous life. This is the meaning of the sparks of the souls that were spread throughout his progeny. Thus, in all his progeny, all the people in the world and all the generations through the last generation, which concludes the purpose of creation, are one long chain. It follows that the acts of the Creator did not change at all by the sin of the tree of knowledge. Rather, the light of life that came at once in Adam HaRishon extended and stretched into a long chain, revolving on the wheel of transformation of forms until the end of correction. There is no cessation for a moment, since the action of the Creator must be alive and enduring, and sanctity is raised, not lowered. As in the case of man, so is the case with all the creatures in the world, because they all descended from an eternal and general form on the wheel of transformation of form, as did man. Both man and the world have an inner value and an outer value. The external always ascends and descends according to the internal. And this is the meaning of, in the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. Instead of the previous breath of life that the Creator had breathed into his nostrils, there is now a sweat of life in his nostrils.
Questions? Help each other wake up.
Ken, Shailot.
Yes, questions. Questions, yeah.
No.
Towards the end, he describes as though he wanted to correct all at once the, and now it's bit by bit or something like that, if you can explain a bit. It's like there's a conclusion here that you can't correct things all at once, but only bit by bit.
He explains that there is none as wise as the experienced one. And so each time you advance your experience, you broaden your kli. And when you do, you relate to the previous kli that you corrected in a deeper, broader fashion. You grow. Reality doesn't grow, but rather you grow. And thus you expand your field of view, that is your reality. And so bit by bit, is a necessary matter. It has to happen that way. Each time you're going to correct your previous vision. And so it doesn't happen at once, because by reviewing what you had before, that's where the benefit comes from. The gap between your previous attitude and your current attitude. And then again, your previous attitude and your current attitude, and so on. And so the gap between these attitudes, time and again gives you, provides you with the ability to understand how you progress and why, and what kind of intelligence the Creator instilled in creation, and what do you get from obtaining it step by step. And so these little steps, we think, you know, what for? Why do we need that? Just let's do all at once and, you know, get it over with. No. No, that's incorrect. Specifically from these very gradual, tiny baby steps, we attain the full depth and perfection of creation. One who already understands this in spirituality is not trying to speed up. He enjoys any moment of doubts and confusion and so on. He actually enjoys that, as it shows him how the Creator knew to break creation apart so as to enable a person a state where he can attain him, the Creator. Yochi.
To tell you the truth, Rav, it really irritates me, this model that we sit, read something that we don't understand, then you have to explain. Why doesn't it come alive? What has to happen in order to understand?
Why do you put yourself as greater than the Kabbalists and the Creator and everything? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? They thought that the best thing for you is this. You can say, why didn't I this and didn't I that, and a thousand complaints. And what will it help you? You have to understand that you, with your qualities, with all the states that you've been given from this Kli of Adam Rishon, putting you here, sitting, looking at the book, and not seeing anything, and cursing it, and continuing.
Yeah, I'm asking, why doesn't it come alive? I'm not talking about understanding.
You want this Garden of Eden to be like you, like this whatever botanical zoo in front of you? What?
No, to feel the ends, like we talked about, love, hate.
No, you need to see through this story what you're now talking about. Yes,
but I don't see nothing.
Ask for it, and later you'll understand that it's not about the story here. The issue is that you making a request, and the Creator will open your eyes not about this. You're not going to want this. You're going to want only one thing. How can I bestow to you?
And how's that related to this?
Well, it probably does. What can I tell you? It does, because he explains to you here where you truly are. That you're in the Garden of Eden and you feel it as hell. And that's because you don't see what you can enjoy correctly. What is the fruit of the garden? What's that fruit? That you take it in your will to receive, you fill it with a certain light, and you feel it in order to bestow. And you have pleasure called spiritual pleasure, not corporeal pleasure. It's above this world. You enter a new dimension. That's what he's explaining to you. There's just no way to explain it to you. What? Schematically, like in the study of the Ten Sefirot, there it will take you a lot more time. This is actually the closest way for us to understand, and it's relatively complete. Where else do you have an explanation? Show me the whole literature. Where do you have another explanation, like in this introduction, he explains to us about this?
This is what I'm asking about. Why don't we feel our state?
So ask yourself, why don't you feel it?
Besides frustration and, you know, anger.
No, but who's to blame for that? What do you want from us or from the book? Go to the Creator. Go to the craftsman who made you. Why don't you turn to Him? Pray more. Yeah.
Just to sit every time, that's the answer.
No, to pray doesn't mean you're just sitting. Don't look at what others are doing. To pray means that I am asking from the Creator. Me, Yochai, I'm asking the Creator to make me like that Yochai who lived 2,000 years ago. That's what I want. He should do it.
I was not born a scientist like you. I'm not some wise disciple.
I'm not. Mister, you're young. Be patient. I promise you, in 30 years, something will happen out of you. No, you just have complaints. I understand. I used to yell and to cry. And yeah. It'll happen very fast. Looking at how we're moving forward, if we're going to carry out what we are studying, what we discussed in the first part of the lesson, we'll advance. Just be occupied with that the whole day. Read all these excerpts. Moscow.
Вот этот принцип, о котором мы читали в пункте Юдхэтчас.
This principle we read about just now. That there's the internal, external, and thanks to the changes in the inner work, there are also external changes. Can you explain again what external, internal is, what changes have to happen? It's similar to what we learned in the first part.
No. I'm not going to explain anything here. I'm only suggesting you to read again and again and again the excerpts from the previous part of the lesson, and this, we'll go back to it. We'll repeat it, of course. These are fundamental things that you're not going to find in any other place. You see, in Pticha, he doesn't touch on it. In the study of the Ten Sefirot, he doesn't touch on it. Also, it's probably the only place in all our literature. There is something in the Tree of Life, there's something a little bit, it touches on the world of Klipot, but it's all here you can understand this issue of the Tree of Knowledge. Okay. You're tired? Yes, Vlad. Today you are.
What does it mean what he says here?
I don't know.
About the bread.
I don't know, well, a slice of bread, that everything depends on the light of Chassidim. Yeah. First, you need to attain Chesed, mercy, light of Chassidim, light of bestowal. And then the livelihood depends on how much vessels of bestowal you attain that is sufficient for the Oviyut, levels root 1, 2, 3, 4. And accordingly, livelihood can come, meaning light of Chokhmah can only come according to light of Chassadim.
Can I ask about truth and faith? About the previous article.
Yeah, what?
It says there that I don't care about what I feel. If the Creator wants me to feel the way that I do, then that's faith. And the truth is that I really do care, because my eyes see something completely different, that it is not so, and so on.
Yes.
How do you connect both states?
No, this I can't tell you. Even if I wanted, I couldn't express it. No.
So how do you work with these states?
Until we get to a new kli, where this thing comes together, we won't know. That's what we are dwelling on right now. We have to start making efforts to accept this vessel called faith above reason, to think about it and delve into all these quotes, these excerpts, until it becomes clearer. All right?
No.
Yes, Asaf.
Rav, במאמר הזה יש עניין... In this article, there's the matter that I forgot.
Good. I'm happy. Thank you. Where are we?
No.
נקרא עוד עוד או נלך למשהו אחר? משהו על חנוכה.
What? Something about חנוכה. Ah, sorry. Okay. Where? Did we do something from this yesterday? So we're moving on to the next part. Before we move to the next part of the lesson, we'll sing a song.
אדם שמולי ממש כמוני, אדם שמולי נרגש כמוני, אדם שמולי נושם כמוני, עד שאיני יכול, עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני, עד שאיני יכול, עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני. אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו כמוני, האדם שמולי בוכה כמוני, עד שאיני יכול, עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני, עד שאיני יכול, עד שאיני יכול להבדיל אותו ממני. אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך מה ששנו עליך, אל תעשה לך ולך